guest speaker all the way from downstairs in the bongo section. A great duress to me in chewing by Pastor John to steal his percussionist, but he's also not only musically gifted, he's an excellent teacher too. Right, Eddie? That's right. So you get, this is your day, you get to decide who's going to open up today. Who do you want to open up for you?
You know, I have Beth. Beth, open us up this
Where's
morning.
She? Oh, okay.
She's right there. She's like, he's looking at me.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together to hear your word. Father, I just ask that you watch over Ray. I ask that he works through you, Father. Lord, we just give you all the glory. We are so grateful that you love us when we're not that lovable and that you're just always with us, Father. In your blessed name I pray. Amen.
And we know you've had a lot of practice at loving the unlovable. All right, Ray, it's all yours, buddy.
All right, good morning. Can anybody hear me so far? Well, first of all, I want to thank Pastor Don and Pastor John and Bob for allowing me to be here this morning to share this word, this parable. And it's this morning when I was getting ready, I had one of those moments where you kind of just like, you know, you kind of just something just hits you. And this teaching right here, Steve Schenck and I had lunch together about a month ago, and we're sitting there, we're having lunch, and we're just talking, you know, about a bunch of things, and somehow we're just talking about the Bible and everything, and I got all into it. I'm all into it. I'm, you know, talking to Steve, yeah, you know, this is what, and Steve's like, you know what, he's not quiet. So he starts saying, Ray, you know what, that's a teaching. I'm like, no, it's not a teaching. That's just something how I feel right now. So he goes, no, I'm telling you, that's a teaching. So I let it go at that. And 2 weeks after that, Bob approaches me and says, hey, Ray, would you mind doing a teaching? So I'm going like, sure, but that's, you know, that didn't dawn on me. That teaching didn't dawn on me. So I said, sure, you know what, yeah, not a problem. You know, if that's what God wants to do, so be it. So I let you know, so fine, so that, you know, I'm doing the teaching and everything, and then it turns around as I'm finishing it, and I got it all done this morning, it hit me that as I'm going through my teaching, as I'm getting everything ready, it hit me that what I was telling Steve 2 weeks prior to when Bob asked me to do a teaching is what God wanted me to talk about today also. So anyways,
what a coincidence.
Yeah, coincidence, right? So anyways, the parable today is, and it's funny because Bob said, you know what, Ray, here's a list. You pick the one you want. I said, wow, I get to choose? It's pretty good. He goes, yeah, you get to choose which one you know, pray on it, and whichever one the Spirit leads you to, you know, talk about that one. So it was maybe about 15 of them left. And I prayed on it, and it just something kept tugging at me to talk about the bread of life. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. The bread of life. The word bread is mentioned 361 times in the Bible, for those that are writing notes. The phrase bread of life appears only twice in the Bible. Out of 361 times that the word bread appears, the phrase, the bread of life, only twice. And the bread of life, for those who have their Bibles, in John chapter 6, starts in verse 32. And I'm going to try to kind of go over this as quickly as I can. And I'll kind of read it, and then I'll get to the points I want to make. Verse 32, Jesus said to them, not Ray, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. No. Right? Does the world do that? All the Father gives me will come down, will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Now, I kind of wrote down a few things here, and I am not by any means, a nutritionist, a health expert, as you can tell. But I wrote down a few things about bread. Just a few things that says, the bread for the body. And I'm speaking of the natural bread. It's got carbohydrates. And I wrote down some nutritional benefits. Source of energy for the body, especially the brain and nervous system. Again, I'm not encouraging everybody to go out and start eating bread. For those of you that are in the carb diets and everything, these are just a few facts. Fiber, good for the digestive system, makes you feel full so you eat less. It's enriched with folic acid and other nutrients such as B vitamin and iron. Okay? Now, those are just some nutritional facts that are in bread, all right, for the body. Now I went into the bread of life. Now, this is the most important one. Because although, according to these facts, you know, bread is good for your body, we should take care of our bodies. But the one that really I want to speak about is the bread of life. The bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And I wrote down a few nutritional values for the bread of life. Truth. Holy Spirit. Love. Compassion. Peace. Eternity. Fellowship, healing, spiritual wisdom. Those are just some nutritional facts, right, of the bread of life. Are all any of those things important for us? Are all those things important for us? Every single one of them. And I'm sure there's about another 100 more that I can put on here, but I kind of just wrote a few because of time's sake. Now, I got here, God himself, okay, and this is in John chapter 6 on the verse 32, where it says, God himself gave the bread straight from heaven. The bread that gives life, at one point, the bread of life, okay, it's the bread of life. At one point, we were all starving spiritually, right? Everybody was doing great before they came to the Lord, right? Everybody was doing fantastic. Everybody was, you know, just doing great. Your life was just going in the right direction. Everybody here, before you met Christ, that's how your life was, right? Sure it was. I can tell you this. While we were out there starving spiritually, and I know this is true for me, for myself, it was only filled temporarily with whatever came before us. Some of us was drinking, drugs, women, money. And I put emphasis on money. And I've heard this phrase before. It's the root of what? All evil? There's a movie here that everybody has seen, the movie Scarface. It's some years back when I first watched it. And he makes a statement on there. He says, if you have the money, you have the power. If you have the power, you have everything else. And I wrote down here, this is true for me, because some years back, I got into where the money was. I was young, I got myself a good, decent job, making real good money, and at the time I was in church, and I was in charge of the youth program, I was on the praise and worship team, and I had my own gospel group. And the enemy put in there, in my head, now there's nothing wrong, absolutely nothing wrong with having money. My problem was that I made it my God. I made it my source for everything. And slowly but surely, having that money led to slowly just working more overtime and just working. I was finding excuses, just working, making that money. Ended up losing the car that I had. Ended up practically losing my family, the place where I lived, the friends that I had. Okay? And that's because I made that the source of my life. That was my priority. I ended up walking out on the group, on the youth program. Walked out on everything. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's my life ended up turning around spiritually because now I'm not serving the Lord the way He wants me to serve Him. Okay? That fullness that I needed in my life wasn't there because I wanted to substitute it with other things. Now, verse 35, Jesus said, again, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. Again, we're talking about the bread of life. Who's the bread of life? Jesus. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about Jesus. Never go hungry. How many of us, only God can make that promise. How many of us here can make that kind of promise? That what I have, I can give you, and it'll sustain you for the rest of your life. There's not one thing I guarantee you that I have that can sustain anybody for the rest of their life. There's nothing I can offer. Okay? And I mean by that is in human life, you know, in the world. Now, again, Jesus is talking about the bread of life. Him, I am. The bread is for the spirit, not for the body. The bread of the spirit, you'll never go hungry, totally satisfied. We have what the world is so desperately in need of. The bread, Jesus, back to verse 33. Gives life to the world. And I wrote that in, not just a few. It sounds like for the world. It's not just for Downriver Christian Community Church. It's not for Lincoln Park. It's not just for Wyandotte. It's not just for Southwest Detroit. It's for the world. Right? Jesus is offering this. Jesus, this is something that is for everybody. Not just for a few. Now, I got on here also. And here's where I want to start really putting emphasis on some of this. I wrote down here something. You can tell people about Jesus, or you can show them Jesus. Is there a difference? Sure. The question is here, I wrote down the question is, how are we offering it or him? And how are we presenting him? How are we presenting him? The bread of life. Mark 16:15. God gave us all a great commission to preach the gospel to the whole world, to share the good news. Good news, Jesus. Now, when I wrote on there about you can tell people about Jesus or you can show them Jesus. Now, there's a difference. Here, let me explain how it is. I can go around and tell anybody about Jesus. I can tell them all I want. Does that necessarily mean that they're going to accept him? No. I can be the great speaker. I can be a great talk. I can talk the talk. And if you heard this phrase, can you walk the walk? Right? You can talk all you want. And it can sound real good. Matthew 7:20. Thus by their fruit, you will recognize them. That's the difference. You can tell them all you want, but what are we showing them? Okay? You can say, you can tell them all about the Bible and Jesus is great and he's wonderful and my life is just a bunch of roses. You're telling them that, but you're showing them something else. It says by your fruit. It's by our actions. It's what we do is what, whether or not, will convince the person that what we're telling them is the truth. Because if on Sunday I'm telling them about Jesus and on Tuesday they see me at the corner cussing somebody out because he cut me off, am I really convincing that person that he needs Jesus in his life? Okay? Not that any of us do that. Okay? Get upset because somebody cut you off. Right, Eddie? He's working on that one. He really is. And I'm with him because I have issues with people cutting me off. But that's another day. Now, what I wrote on here, how are we presenting him? Where's my technician?
Here I am, sir.
No, no,
oh, technician.
No, technician.
Oh. I got a microphone. That's high tech for me.
Yeah, the first video. The first video. Yeah, that one. Just watch this real quick, this little clip right here.
I had the pleasure of bringing out Christ. This is just how I would do it. It ain't got to be the way you do it. You might not think it's just right, but this is how I would do it. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to introduce a man who needs no introduction. His credits are too long to list. He has done the impossible time after time. He has, out of a manger in Bethlehem, Jerusalem, by way of heaven. His mother is still headlining in the Catholic Church today. His daddy is the author of a book that has been on the bestseller list since the beginning of time. He holds the record for the world's greatest fish fry. He fed 5,000 hungry souls with 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. He can walk on water, turn water into wine. No special effects, no camera tricks. He has a headshot on every church fan across the country. Even before the kings of comedy, he was hailed the king of all kings, ruler of the universe, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the bright and the morning star. Some say he's the Rose of Sharon, and some say he's the Prince of Peace. Get up on your feet. Put your hands together and show your love for the second coming of the one and only.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, I grabbed that because he makes some statements on there that are so true. And the reason why I played that is because when we're talking about the bread of life, and we want to talk to the bread of life to the world, and this is something just for me. To me, it's in the presentation. Okay? And like I mentioned earlier, you know, how are we presenting ourselves to the world? Are we representing ourselves to the world the way Jesus wants us to be? Okay? And to me, that's important. It has to be important because we don't want to send mixed messages to the world. We don't want to tell the world what we have is so great, and then by our actions, by how we live our lives, we're telling them something totally different. We're not going to convince them. They're not going to be convinced. I have a presentation that I got to do on Thursday for the company that I work for. I got to be in Grand Rapids and do a presentation. And I have to go ahead and get all my data together, all the information, everything that I need, okay, for this presentation. I have one chance to get it right. Because this is all for 2014. So everything that we have to do for 2014 with Myers, I have to have it ready now. I have to be prepared. I have to have all my facts. I have to have all the information to give to the buyer. Samples, everything. I have to have everything ready to present it. Now, when I get there, I got to put all the samples right in front of them with all the labels looking nice. This is all marketing techniques. You have to have it all in front of them. So when they're sitting there, they see all the colors and all the brightness and all the different products, okay? Because I have to convince them that they have to have this product in all of their stores. Okay? Now, by the same token, is the same way we should present Jesus. We're offering something that nobody else out there has. Jesus hasn't been duplicated. It'll never happen. It's one. That's it. One God. We have the best product to offer to the world. It's healthy for them. Right? It gives them strength, wisdom, eternal life. We have a product. We have the best product to offer. There's so many other religions out there that we know of that can't offer what we can offer. We can offer the bread of life. We can offer a product. We can offer Jesus to the world, okay, that nobody else can. I also wrote down on here, and again, I'm going on presentation. Restaurant. We all like to go to a nice restaurant once in a while. Now, when we go to a restaurant and they bring the food, you order a nice steak dinner, right? Nice, juicy, big steak. And they bring the plate out, and the potatoes are just all over your steak, and the sauce is just... it's just all over. You know, the beans don't even look right. And then the waitress comes and just grabs the plate and just throws it on your table. Here's your steak. Do you really want to eat that now? Right? Or now you have the waitress or the waiter that comes by and brings the plate out, and your steak is nice and juicy, and you can just see. Anybody getting hungry yet? And everything is just so organized, and it looks so good. And they come in just real nice and just set it on your table. So that little bar, there's your food. And he looks at her like, that looks good. I want that. Right? Now, getting back to... Yes.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you were saying, you know, the presentation, and we're all suckers. You know, they had on YouTube a couple weeks ago, you know, if you're planning like a cruise or you're going to a hotel somewhere and they show you the beautiful shot, you know, the swimming pool or the bar area or the front of the boat. And on YouTube, they had, you know, 10 things you see, and then it was like what it really looks like. So they show on this place down in Miami, it's got the pool there and the sun going down in the background, and this show, you know, and you're thinking, wow, this is a high class hotel. And then showed a shot about 10 feet back. The pool was about 10 feet long. They had a bunch of garbage cans over the side, overflowing with garbage. Same with the cruise lines, you know. So it is, it's like a McDonald's hamburger. You see it on TV, and it's just, you know, perfect. And you get it in the car, and what does it look like? You go, what in the world is this thing? Looks nothing like that. But you're right, the presentation, you know, it invokes something in us that we got to have that. We got, you know, you shine it up, and you know, you're familiar with that, where you're going to place products in the store, and, you know, the advertising sign, what it's going to look like. But we're all suckers for it, and that's, you know, the art of advertising. But how much more so? And we don't really have to clean him up, you know, Christ. We present. That's exactly right. He's showing us, and nobody's going to want, you know.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Now, and I bring that up because a lot of the religions out there, like I said, will go ahead and, now, does Jesus need, you know, yeah, should we go ahead and, you know, he is, like in the video, the Alpha, the Omega, he is King of all kings. There is no God like our God. Right? So those statements are true. They'll always be true. For the rest of our lives, those statements, those comments, those facts will always be true. Now, the difference in when we're presenting something to the world is, does it have substance? Does it have the grasp, the source, the foundation to go ahead and show them that what we have is what they want? Again, we have something that the world is starving for. We do have it. The bread of life. When we said we want Jesus, when we want to give our hearts to God, we have something that is so great. How many of us here have lived lives that were just doomed? They were just going nowhere. Some of us here to today probably wouldn't even be here had they not accepted Jesus as their Savior. Right? A lot of us. I know I was one of them.
All of us from Southwest.
Right? And pretty much half the room at one point. Right? But again, and I go into, you know, how are we presenting Jesus? Are we showing the world? Because here's the reason why I'm bringing that up is because we're saying we have a powerful God. And sometimes we walk around and we talk to people like we don't. Seriously. I bumped into a lot of people, and, well, how are you doing today? I'm doing great. Why you have your head down? You woke up today. You have life. You have an opportunity to witness to somebody. You have an opportunity today to convince somebody to have what we have. We should be thankful. Why are you looking gloom? The Bible says to be joyful in everything. In the good and in the bad. That's not a movie. Ugly part of that one. We have something to offer to the world. Okay? And when we show it to them, when we present Jesus, when we're telling them about what we have, we should grab their attention. okay? It should be that they are sitting there at the edge of their seats, because we're telling them when they say, hey, how are you doing? I'm doing great. Yesterday, guess what? I had a flat. I was worried about that. But when I had the flat, this guy pulled over to help me out. And when he was trying to help me, I started talking about Jesus. I presented Jesus to him as something that I needed in my life. He has the bread of life, something that I needed. I presented that to him. Tomorrow he's coming to church and giving his heart to God. That's how we're presenting Jesus. A lot of times we're just like, he doesn't have no power. He's the most powerful God there is. There is no other. And we have that. We have Jesus in our greater things, right? You will do. Was that a lie? Jesus doesn't lie. Okay? His word is the truth always. When Jesus died on the cross for all of us, it wasn't for few, it was for all of us. When he tells us in his word, not my word, I didn't write it, in his word, that he is the bread of life, is for the spiritual life. Because without that, okay, well, we know what happens if we don't have this Jesus in our heart. I also got another, when I went to buy my car, I was looking for a car at the time, and I wanted a specific car. I wanted something specific. And I said, okay, so I went looking around, and I found a place in Ohio. So I went to Ohio. Me and my wife went to Ohio, and I saw this car that I wanted, and I went over there and looked at it. When I got there, it was sitting on the side, and the guy says, yeah, here's the car right here. I said, okay. So took it for a test drive, took it back. I'm like, nah, you know, nothing major, you know, okay. It needed an oil change. It needed brakes. The brakes were still sitting in the back seat. I'm like, really? So I said, okay, forget it. Then I saw this other car. And it was in Lorain, Ohio. I went all the way to Lorain, Ohio to get my car. So when I got there, I asked the guy, hey, I'm here to look at the car. And he goes, it's in there. And he had a warehouse. And in the warehouse, he had the car sitting there all by itself with a light shining over it. What the? Seriously, you can't make this up. Yes, no, it had to and the light shining over it. And he had it detailed. Talking about presentation, it was detailed. And I'm going like, that's how you show something. That's how you show something. Okay? Now, did it grab my attention? Of course it did. To give her a test drive? It's at home in the driveway now. Okay? Now, what I'm trying to get to that point is, like Pastor Don said, yeah? You know, on the outside, we're showing something. We're telling them something. But it's the inside. But here's the point. Here's the thing I really want you to understand is what got me. It's not just so much the presentation, though that is very important. We're talking about spiritual bread here. It's how are you presenting that? How are you presenting that to the world? We're telling the world that we have a powerful God, that He showed that it's His love, the compassion, His mercy, and we walk around telling people that. But we're not showing them that. That's what we need to do. We need to show them that He does live. To today, He does live. And we want them to have what we have. We have something that's so great, people. Amen. How many can say amen? Amen. We have Jesus in our hearts. He gives us everything that we need. Not that we want. He gives us a spouse that we need. He gives us eternal life. I got here, finish up here in 1 minute here. There are so many people in the world starving spiritually today. We were once tired, blind, and hungry. We have something to offer. We have an opportunity to witness, to minister to the world, to show them that they need the bread of life. We have that with us. We want to share it with the world. Because I tell you this, They are hungry for it. I see it every day. They are hungry. They are starving for something to satisfy them completely, not just temporarily. And we have that. Can you play that last one? And I'll play this last part right here, and we'll close with that.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first
substance. We have the bread of life to offer. and we can. We have a powerful God. We have something that they need, they want, and are starving for it. It's our responsibility, it's our job to share his gospel, to offer what we have to those. We were at one point lost, we were blind, we were hungry, we were lost, and half of us were even half dead. Amen. If we can have Donna, would you please close us in prayer?
Hold on, Donna.
Oh, I'm sorry.
As I make my way back there, my grandfather was an evangelist. He had a little girl, a friend, that he took with her everywhere. She was 16 years old. She had a voice like Candace. I mean, she was 4 foot nothing, but voice like one of these guys. Before he went on stage, every time, she would sing that song. He would have a line waiting to give their hearts to the Lord before he even hit the stage. Presentation. That song touched. That's my favorite song.
Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for Ray and the time you took to hear your voice, to give us this word, Lord. And Father, I pray that we apply it to our life, Lord. Father, I pray that we would be that light for the world, Lord, not just in word, but in action, Lord God. And Father, we thank you for today, and we pray, Father, that you would just bless our service, Lord God. Touch our hearts, Lord. I pray that everyone that come in, Lord, would be changed when they walk out, Lord. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.